From Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Stuti, Chapter 14. Today is Purushottam Adhikamas, and we're glorifying Adhik Bhagavan, that Bhagavan who has extra, more Bhagavan. More Bhagavan means he wears a peacock feather on his head, which means more. And M-O-R-E means he has more than any other Bhagavan, yes? Living entities have 50 qualities of the Lord in minute proportion, which means they have 78% of the qualities of the Lord. That's then 55 qualities are demigods, and that's 84% of the qualities of God. And then Vishnu is also Aishwarya Purushottam. He has 60 qualities out of 64, so he has 93%. But the extra Bhagavan, the super Bhagavan, the Purushottam Bhagavan, is Sri Krishna, has 64 qualities, which is 100% of the Godhood nature. So therefore I was giving an interesting explanation of the word Adhik. Adhik means that month where we worship the Bhagavan who has more and gives more. If you have more money, you can give more donations. So he has more qualities, so he can give more to more devotees. Once Purnaka came to Ram and asked for his body to enjoy, he said, forget it, you have to go to Adhik Bhagavan. I'm limited, I can't give you more. I'm giving all to Sita, Ekpatni Brata. But you come in Dwapara Yuga, and I'll fulfill all your desires because I'm Purnatam Bhagavan. Krishna, Sri Krishna in Vrindavan is Purnatam. He's a full, complete Lord. So Adhik means complete, full, extra, extra month. So I was giving this idea to Adhik because this is the month we worship Radha and Krishna, not Aishwarya Purushottam, Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, nor do we worship Maryada Purushottam in Ayodhya, but we worship Madhurya Purushottam. And this is kind of review for all of you. Brahma is inspiring us to. So this is verse 5 of chapter 14 of Brahma's prayers. Pureha bhuman bahavo piyoginas tadarpiteha nija karma labdhaya vibhudya bhaktyeva katopanitaya prapedirenjo chuta te gatim param. And we were hearing about how Krishna, infallible Krishna. Well, we'll hear Prabhupada explains about this infallible Krishna. His name is Achyuta. Achyuta Govinda. What is that verse? There's that one song about Bhakti, you know, all those names. We sing it sometimes. Achyuta Keshava Sridhara Madhava Gopala Govinda Hari Jai Govinda Jai Gopal Keshava Madhava Dina Dayal Dina Dayal Prabhu Dina Dayal Dina Dayal Prabhu Dina Dayal Giridhari Sham Hari Murari Shama Pyari Govardhana Dari Giridhari Sham Hari Murari Govinda Gopal Shri Lara Lila. I mixed up some song we wrote, you know, all different things. The translation, as we heard yesterday, especially this Kato Panitaya, the Buddha Bhaktieva, that the yogis, the bhakti yogis, they have great intelligence, vibhud, excessive understanding of Bhagavan. So therefore they spend their time serving him in devotional service. They surrender to him. And he's infallible. And Prabhupada actually takes a very beautiful definition of infallible, which I've heard before, and we'll hear from Prabhupada. So in text 5, Rama is glorifying Purushottam in saying that, oh my Lord, in the past many yogis, and the Tikas were explaining that this could mean mystic yogis who were favored by great devotees like Narada Muni and others. They gave up the path of mystic yoga and took up bhakti. And it can also mean bhakti yogis. Bhakti yogis are also yogis because the word is yoginas. Pureha bhuman bhavo piyoginas. So yogis, they faithfully carry out their prescribed duties, and through such devotional service, because they perform bhakti and offer all their endeavors to Krishna, and they perfect their devotional service by shravanam and kirtanam. Such bhakti yogis, they come to understand you, vibhuti, vibhuti. By simply hearing and chanting about Krishna, shravanam kirtanam, then one gets vishesh buddhi. He gets very specialized and refined intelligence. Sumedha Saha. Sumedasaha, Krishna Varana Trisa Krishna, Sango Pangrishna Parshanam, Yagyasan Kirtana Priya, Yajantihi Sumedasaha. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, and the teachings of King Karabhajana to Nimi Maharaj, Navyogendras, and he's teaching about this, people that are intelligent, they take up Krishna Varanam Trisa Krishnam, they worship that covered incarnation, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the age of Kali, by chanting the Maha Mantra. Sumed. Made means intelligence, good intelligence. The devotees, they get that good intelligence, that discriminating intelligence, simply by hearing and chanting, then they attract the heart of the Lord. Then the devotees, they enter the Achyuta Dham to worship the Achyuta Bhagavan. Achyuta Bhagavan means that Bhagavan that never... because it says infallible can also mean never fails. Infallible, not failing. So I heard a very nice description, which is similar to Prabhupada's Tika. He says that Achyuta means that Lord, that particular form of Purushottam, unlike any other form of the Lord, they're all Bhagavan, but he's Swayam Bhagavan. So that Swayam Bhagavan, he's Achyuta Krishna. We never usually hear the term Achyuta, Achyuta Ram, Achyuta Narayan. Although in the front of the Bhagavatam, first canto, there are depictions of the 24 forms of Vishnu with the placement of the four weapons in different hands, Gada, Padma, Chakra, Shankh. And the names are under there, Sri Padmanabh, Sri Achyuta, all the tilak marks. The tilak marks of our body, of course, are invoking Vishnu. Vishnu is the protector, the Pala, the Palana. Vishnu is the Palana, protector of this universe. Whenever people are in difficulty in this universe, they go to a demigod, then the demigods go to Vishnu and say, "Help! Hiranyakashipu is beating up Indra. And he's beating up everybody except Brahma and Shiva, because he can't beat them up. They're too smart and too powerful. They don't even try." But everyone else, Agni, Indra, etc., they complained to Brahma and they said, "Listen, you're the Pitamaha, you created the whole thing and we're in trouble." So then he explained that the Lord will come and save you. So Achyuta usually refers, although there, Achyuta Vishnu is a name for one of the 24 Vishnu forms who's engaged in protecting the universe. But there's also a name for Krishna. When one enters the family of Krishna, becomes a Krishna, a member of Krishna's entourage, upon realizing his Siddhadeya, then one can enter the eternal pastimes of the Lord in Voma Vrindavan and then in Nitya Vrindavan. And then he enters what is called the Gotra, the family of Krishna, Achyuta Gotra. So Achyuta means infallible. He never fails. He never... And the definition we heard, which is very sweet and individual and personal, is that this form of Bhagavan, which is Sri Krishna Vrindavan, he never fails to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. Whereas other people will approach different forms of the Lord and he doesn't reciprocate. So you can't call... Can you call Ram Achyuta? If you ask Supurnaka, do you think Ram is Achyuta? He didn't really reciprocate with her innuendos, or you could say seducements. He rather disfigured her through the hand of Lakshman, cut off her ears and nose, which doesn't do a lot of good for a woman's beauty. Turn her face into a leprotic horror show. When you have leprosy, your nose falls off, your ears fall off. Don't look too cute then. So he didn't. She came to love him, at least in one sense, or to enjoy him actually, because that's what was not appreciated. But Krishna reciprocates with everyone. Garga Samhita tells about the 20 different classes of ladies. The Devakanyas, the virgin girls in heavenly planets, and various, the girls of Kosala, when Ram was married to Sita, and so many different female personalities, well, they had other leelas with different forms of Bhagavan. They all approached Bhagavan, and they got their reciprocation in Krishna leela. They became gopis, and Krishna pleased them. From different ages, from different... from planetary systems, the Nagapatnis means the wives of the snakes, and it's not the same as Kaliyanagapatnis or some other. So they all became gopis, and their sages and rishis became gopis, and sadhanas said everybody that became got blessed. Sages were in Dandakaranya forest meditating, and then they saw the Lord with Sita, Lord Ram, and Treta Yuga, and they became so much attracted with conjugal feelings, although they're men. So it has nothing to do with the external body, what type of bhav one may have towards the Lord. So Lord Ram, Maryada Purushottam, said, I really can't do much for you as Ramachandra, but next time around, when I come in Dwapara Yuga as Krishna, then I will not fail to reciprocate with your wishes, your sankalpa, and your intention. So this is the Lord. So we can easily attain that infallible Lord by surrender, expressed through the process of hearing and chanting. By hearing and chanting, kata panitaya. Kata panitaya. Kata panitaya means to cultivate hearing and chanting harikata. Kata panitaya. And when we do such cultivation of Krishna Shravanam and Krishna Kirtanam, then we attain vigyan, realization about Krishna. And once we have some realization about the position of Krishna and our own position, after acquiring sufficient sambandha gyan about Bhagavat Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Karma Tattva, Kala Tattva, Prakriti Tattva, then we can surrender deeply to Krishna. That's why we often emphasize with new people, read now, chant later. And oftentimes, many people preach, chant, chant, chant. And you ask someone, the first question people fire at you when you go to some temple, are you chanting 16 rounds? Seven and a half. You have to chant 16 rounds. But there's no sambandha gyan. And everywhere it says, without proper understanding of who I am, who is God, what is this sadhana, first there's the foundation. Before you start decorating your house with designer furniture, you have to build a foundation. It starts there. Your beautiful house is going to knock everybody's eyes out when they see it. It begins underground, where no one sees it. So the beautiful expressions of your devotional attainment, they begin in the invisible realm of sambandha tattva. No one sees. Before you fly the plane, you build a runway. You don't say, okay, I got the plane, let's go. Psh! There's no runway, Jack. So where are you going to fly? You just go down the cornfields in your 747 and end up in Yamuna River? You have to make a runway, tarmac. So this is the way we attain the perfection. So this verse has the word achyuta, that by surrendering we can easily attain the infallible one. Brahma prayed, Brahma Stuti, my dear Lord, there are many instances in the history of human society. And the BBT says, in the past, many yogis in this world achieved the platform of bhakti by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out their prescribed duties. And Prabhupada is saying, there are many instances in the history of human society where a person, after failing to achieve the transcendental platform, engaged himself in devotional service with his body, mind, and words, and thus attain the highest perfectional stage of entering into your abode. The process of understanding you by speculation or mystic meditation, yoga, jnana, are all useless without devotional service. One should therefore engage himself in your devotion, even in his worldly activities. That's what it says here. Faithfully carrying out their prescribed duties. So one should worldly activities, and one should always keep himself near you. That's very nice phrases, very personal touch. One should always keep himself near you, my Lord Sri Krishna. How? By the process of hearing and chanting your transcendental glories. So oftentimes in Prabhupada's purports, the word here and there can really perk your intelligence or tweak your brain, as they say. Because if you read the word for word, and it says that Such devotional service perfected by the processes of hearing and chanting about you, they come to understand you. BVT. And Prabhupada is saying that by engaging it, even in your worldly activities, when you're in your worldly activities, you're with mundane people. Relativities are relatives, husbands, wives, bosses, etc., children. So we're in these worldly engagements, which are part of our karma. We have to work out or work through, as they say. So we engage in those activities, worldly activities, but we should always keep ourselves near the Lord. Keep Himself near you. It's very nice. Upasanam. We say Krishna Upasanam, Deva Upasanam, Pancha Upasanam, the worship of Shiva and Durga and Ganesh and Surya and Vishnu. It's called Pancha Upasanam. And Asan means to sit, and Upa means Upari, means to sit near. Upanayanam. We have Upanayanam, Brahman Diksha Upanayanam. When one qualifies for second initiation, then he qualifies himself to keep near the Guru, to sit near the Guru and hear the Vedas. Before that, he's trying to qualify by humble service. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanto Gurorhitam. That tapasa brahmachari yena shamena cha damena cha. There are two verses in the Bhagavatam that talk about living in the Brahmacharya ashram and controlling the senses, Vasandanto Guroritam. And Guru Hita, only living for the benefit of the Guru and serving him humbly as Krishna taught it by his own example in Ujjain. In the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni, he's Bhagavan, but he showed the humble path, Pranipatena, humble service, going out in the forest collecting dried wood. For cooking the bhoga for the brahmacharis and Sandipani Muni's Gurukul. So this way, after qualifying himself by humble service, then he was allowed to sit near the Guru, and he got Upanayanam Diksha. Vasudev said, "Oh, you've been raised as a ruffian. You're my son. You're the son of Devaki. You're Devaki Nandan, Vasudev Anandan. You've gone, for the last 10 years, you've been living in a village with the animals. You become a little like an animal, my dear Krishna. My dear Devaki Nandan. And you don't know how to tie your shoes. And you don't know how to write your name. You don't know anything about Sanskrit. And you don't have any culture. You just toot, toot, toot on your flute and chase these cows and jump after the frogs into the water. You don't know anything about the 64 arts. The only art you know is the art of stealing." And this is not very appreciated in Mathurapuri, because we have prisons over here. Kamsa's prison, you've heard? And so in the prison, where all the chores go, but we don't read about any prisons in Vrindavan. There's no prisons here. Everyone here is in Vrindavan. Krishna was foot loose and fancy free. He was wandering wherever he wanted to be here, be there, wherever he wanted to be. He was foot loose and fancy free. But he got over there, and it's like the father says, "What's this? No shoes? A 10-year-old kid? You can't go to school like this. And don't even have a shirt? Don't you know how to button your shirt? You're just wearing a chadar and a dhoti? They didn't teach you how to button a shirt over there? What is this?" And he said, "You know Sanskrit?" "No, I don't know Sanskrit." "You can write Sanskrit?" "No, I don't know any mantras. I can't write." "Can you do Homa or Yagya or Puja?" "Nothing." "You're like uncivilized. You're like a Pashupal." Pashupal, Pashupal means a protector and keeper of animals. Gopal, Pashupal. Go is a type of animal. Go is a cow. Cow is a beast, an animal. So listen, now you're a prince. You're the Yuvaraj. You need some refinement. You have to attend Amy Vanderbilt's School of Proper Manners. I'll send you to a Pukka first-class private school in Ujjain. Private school, boys' school, 1 lakh a month, very costly. A first-class education, computers in all the classrooms, indoor swimming pool, race course, everything, horse race course, everything. So you go there and learn the 64 arts. And then you can enter into the culture, it's the big time, the cultured society of Mathurapuri, the city which is envied by the demigods for the opulence in their culture. the refinement. No more of this cow dung between your toes. Cow dung between your toes. And what is this? I heard that you were eating with your left hand. You're carrying yogurt and rice in your left hand, parading around in front of Brahma. This is out. This is definitely out. We heard you're eating with monkeys and living, and they're eating with both hands. You're eating with both hands. This is out. Over here in Mathura, you have to learn how to eat with a knife and fork, or at least your right hand. And anyway, there's hope for you. So tomorrow I booked a ticket on two-tier AC. In Mathura, we're going to get on the train, and we'll send you AC over to Ujjain. Your big brother will be there to keep an eye over you. And you go learn something, get Upanayan and come back. Every cultured man, every Brahmin, Kshatriya, and Vaishya is entitled to take Upanayanam Sanskara. Upanayanam, you sit near the Guru, and he reveals, he teaches you Sanskrit. Now you're qualified by your humble service, collecting firewood, and your surrender and controlling your senses and living in his command. If the Guru orders you to eat, you eat. If he doesn't call you, you fast. He rings the bell, that's prasadam. That day no bell rings, and you say, "Hey, Balaram, did you hear a bell? I didn't hear any bell." "Are you sure? Your ears were clean or what?" "Yeah, I didn't hear anything." "Oh, I think maybe because Guruji has the panchang, we can't read yet." "So I think today's Ekadasi." "Oh, wow. Do you have anything stashed?" "No, hey, this isn't Vrindavan. Come on, there's no more stashes now. We're the big time. I'm the son of Rohini and Vasudev. We're cousin brothers. We're kings, we're princes now. Those coward days are over. That's all a memory now, it's a dream. Remember, Rohini and Vasudev, the mother and father of Balaram. So we just have to, there's no more Madhu Mangal, we can't steal a stash of sweets, and this is Madhu Mangal's father that we're studying with. Very strict. Well, look what happened to Madhu Mangal after associating with us. So, it's beautiful. The Prabhupada says that we stay in our social position and we engage in service. We can perform bhakti even in the course of our worldly activities. Okay, we go to work, we're a school teacher, and we come back and we chant 16 rounds before we go, or 64 or whatever. Do puja, go and do our work, come back. Offer arti, chant bhajan, dastakam, study bhagavatam, shravanam kirtanam. Very powerful process. And what will happen? Simply by this, one can always keep himself near Krishna by the hearing and chanting about him. And that's what we say when we're chanting Hare Krishna. We should understand, when we're chanting Krishna's name, Maha Mantra, we're sitting with Krishna. He's sitting with us, right in front of us. Chanting Hare Krishna is hearing and chanting. Just like we're sitting in front of each other, so imagine Krishna's there. You don't have to imagine. Now we imagine. Eventually we'll see. Imagine Krishna's right in front of you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Falling asleep, and then we get a slap. "Oh, I'm sorry, Krishna. I don't have that much ruchi, you know." "Well, you know." And then Krishna puts his lotus palm on her head, and he shakes it. Now you have ruchi? "Oh, yeah. Now I have ruchi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." Simply by being attached to hearing and chanting your glories, my dear Lord Krishna, one can attain the highest perfectional stage and enter into your kingdom. If a person always keeps in touch with you, but see, they have this phrase nowadays. Give me your cell phone, I want to keep in touch with you. And Prabhupada is quite relevant and contemporary in his language of the Bhagavatam. Brahma is speaking. If a person always keeps in touch with Krishna by hearing and chanting his glories and offers results of his work to you for your satisfaction, easily and happily attains entrance into your supreme abode. You are realizable by persons who have cleansed their hearts of all contamination. This cleansing of the heart is made possible by chanting and hearing the glories of your Lordship. So here in Prabhupada's beautiful Tika in verse 5 of Brahma Stuti, which was spoken 5,000 years ago, Prabhupada is glorifying Krishna, he's glorifying the process of Nam Sankirtan, and he's glorifying Krishna's golden avatar in the age of Kali. Chaito Dharvanam Arjanam Bhava Mahadavak Nirvapanam. So he's seeing this verse. This verse is reminding Prabhupada of Lord Chaitanya, because it's talking about hearing and chanting and becoming purified. And by this hearing and chanting process, we can understand Krishna and attain Krishna. So that's the process. But then how? And then, because the process cleanses us. So Prabhupada, at the end of his purport, he just immediately catapults us into Gaur Lila and immediately elevates us, or let's not say elevate us, but takes us by the hand from Krishna Lila, and we just slide into Gaur Lila. Govinda becomes Gauranga, Gauranga becomes Govinda, Mayapur becomes Vrindavan, Madhurya becomes Audharya, Audharya, Audharya becomes Madhurya. Sometimes Mahabhu is in Shiva Sangam relishing Lila Kirtan with Sri Damodar and others in Nitya Lila. And he's relishing within himself the sweetest bhavas of Vrindavan, Brajabhav. And then, so that's the Madhurya aspect. He's in this Audharya Dham of Mayapur, magnanimous, ever-expanding and distribution aspect of himself. But then he gives up that aspect of distributing the sweetness, and just tastes and relishes the sweetness and starts identifying with his Krishna Sarup, although he's golden outside, Gauranga. And that's in Gaur Lila, the Madhurya Lila comes in. But then sometimes in Madhurya Lila, then he comes back to Audharya Lila. And sometimes you see that Radharani, she's in the mode of Madhurya, relishing the intimate sweetnesses with Krishna. This is Madhurya. She's alone in the Kunja. And then other times she says, oh Krishna, let's distribute the mercy. You're so sweet. Badanam, badanam madaram. Your face is very sweet. Hasitam madaram. Your laughing is very sweet. And your chumbaka madaram. Your kisses are very sweet. So why don't you distribute your sweetness to the other gopis who are lying in their individual kunjas around the banks of the Yamuna? And Krishna declines. He said, no, I'm not in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. I'm not in the mood of Audharya. I don't want to distribute. I want to relish more and more of your sweetness and your intimacy. And Radharani says, no, I'm in Krunabhav. I'm Krunamayi Radha. So please go and share the nectar with others. Krishna Karnamrit, the Krishna nectar. And let them relish your wonderful association and receive their services in return. So Lord Radharani is distributing Krishna to others. And what does Krishna do when he takes the form of Lord Gauranga? He distributes Krishna to others. He's Krishna in the mood of Radharani, Radhabhav, trying to relish the sweetness of Radharani's Mahabhav. Mahabhav Swaranam, Rasa Swaranam, Rasaraj. Rasaraj Mahabhav, in relishing. And then at the same time, he's distributing that sweetness to others through Nam Sankirtan. So sometimes Krishna Lila becomes Audharya, sometimes Gaur Lila becomes Madhurya, or becomes Audharya. That's why they say that Gaur Lila is a very confidential and esoteric topic, very difficult to understand. The higher realms of this interplay between Gaur and Govinda. Gaur Govinda Lilamrita. Very mysterious area of transcendental relishment of the Lord. Sometimes relishing, sometimes distributing, sometimes containing, sometimes expanding, sometimes withdrawing, sometimes contributing. Mystifying Lord. Verse 6. Tatapi bhuman mahim angunasyate. Vibodham arhat yamalantaratma bi avikriyat svanubhavad arupato yananya bodhyat matayana chanyata. Poetry, Brahmastuti, Adi Guru. So this is the positive side. In verse 5, he's saying these devotees have such wonderful fortune. They attain Achyuta Gotra. They attain that infallible Lord who never fails to reciprocate in kind with love. Any love offering, the Lord reciprocates fully and even more than fully, as our Gurudev. Srila Prabhupada repeatedly said, if you take one step towards Krishna, I think this is a pretty popular well-known axiom of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He said, if you take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 steps towards us. And that's certainly, we can try to at least do that much. We can at least put one foot in the right direction. If we point one foot, one of our 2 feet, not even both, but we point one foot towards Krishna and take and let that one foot go towards Krishna, then he'll run 10 feet in our direction. Then oftentimes we run 11 feet the opposite way. So he's run 10 feet closer to us, and then we jump back one foot, and then we're still 1 foot away from Krishna. So this is a problem. Krishna, oh, Krishna's getting close to me. Oh, I feel Krishna's coming close. He's about to embrace me. Oh, that, wait a minute. What is that going to mean? If Krishna embraces, it means, oh, no more Maya. I have to get up early and have to chant Hare Krishna and study and serve him and do all kinds of devotional things. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, who's this? Oh, some blue flash coming my way at very fast. What is that? Oh, I better run. Come on, let's go. Krishna says, hey, wait. Wait. And then he stops at 10 feet, but we already backpedaled 10, 11 feet. So it's a constant tug of war between Bhagavan and the neophyte. Bhagavan's trying to pull us forward with one end of the rope. Tug of war is a rope, one rope joining two people. So Krishna's playing tug of war. He's trying to pull us, come, come, come. And we're saying, no, no, come this way. Come with me, Krishna. Come to Maya. He said, I'm not going across this river. I'm not going across this Viraja River. You're on one side of the Viraja River in Maya, and I'm in the Paravyam. I'm in the spiritual world trying to pull you to Vaikuntha Prapti, Golok Prapti, and you want to be stuck in a cesspool of the material world. He's like, come on, Krishna. Come on over this side. No, you cross this Viraja. You give up your false ego. Get bathed in the Viraja. Give that up. Come. No, this way. Oh, that's... So Krishna, we pull so hard that Krishna says, okay, let's go with the rope. We go, oh, boom! And we fall back on our butts. And Krishna just says, bye. I gave you independence, and this is what you want. So, bye for now. So Krishna's always coming, and always going, and always coming, and the tug of war is going on and on and on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vrindavan Bihari Lala Ki Jai Radha Rani Ki Jai Giriraj Dharana Ki Jai Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Brahma in verse 5 gives us the good news about the devotees that don't fall down but go on and on and on back to Krishna. Get up, get down, get up, like a baby walking. He stands and he falls. Boom! Oh, he fell in your boom. Boom, boom. Now get up. But Krishna, who's holding our index finger? It's not our grandmother. The grandmother reaches out like this with her index fingers. And the little baby's trying to walk and she catches his index fingers. And she holds them on both sides. Come on, Junior, come on. Walk. And he's like tottering and tiltering and wobbling and wibbling and this way, that way, forward, back, and trying to figure out what his backbone is all about and get some kind of balance. And she's pulling and he's trying to take his first baby steps and the cameras are rolling and the digits are flying and everyone's filming this very important moment, this moment in the history of the jiva. He's going to start walking on the samsara. He's just been lying inert in the samsara, floating in the samsara samudra. Now he's taking his first few strokes in the ocean of ignorance. They want to record it with all so many digits. See, look, here's Junior taking his first steps in a cycle of birth and death. We should record it for posterity, right? Look, Junior, you got out of the womb where you were safe praying to Krishna. Now you're walking in the samsara. We got it on camera, see? Keep walking. Well, Johnny Walker. Walk on, Johnny. You can follow Johnny or the Mahajanis. If you follow the Johnny Walkers, you walk with Johnny and go to hell. If you walk the Mahajanopat, Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta, the Panta means the path. If you walk with the Mahajanis, instead of Johnny Walkers, the Mahajanis, the great souls, the Dwadasa Mahajans, Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Prahlado Janako Bhishmo. So these great Mahajans are there. We walk with them, we go back to Krishna. But for the devotee, in verse 5, he's saying, Brahma's saying, this is very good news, because your grandmother is not holding your index fingers. Because even your grandmother falls on her bum sometimes. She falls in a bathtub and breaks her hip. So what's she supposed to do with little Junior? Can't hold him up anymore, can't hold herself up anymore. But Krishna is holding our index fingers, Achyuta, and he never falls. Achyuta never falls. So if we're being shown how to walk by Achyuta, and the Achyuta Parampara, Achyuta Gotra Parampara, by the representatives of Achyuta, the Guru is Achyuta, and then we can walk nicely and go back to Godhead. That's the good news of verse 5. That's for the devotees. They pass their time. Okay, they're in a society, they're working, doing anything, not attached. Doing their duty, but they're really attached to hearing and chanting and serving Krishna. And they attain perfection by the mercy of Achyuta. But in this verse, he talks about the other guys. There's the devotees and the non-devotees. Non-devotees, however, so these are the fortunate guys. Those people, men and women, devotees who enter the Achyuta Gotra. But there are some others, which is a majority. The non-devotees cannot realize you in your full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within their hearts. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distinctions and attachments to material sense objects. So they have to perform to realize this Brahman aspect of Krishna, that they have to intensely withdraw from all sense stimuli and sense objects and fix themselves on the immortal self within the heart, the unchangeable spark of consciousness, the Aham Brahmasmi. So for those in the path of impersonal jnana, then the world becomes a difficult place. They generally withdraw from the world. They can't live in the social setting and realize Brahman because there's too many distractions and allurements, too many objects. So they have to withdraw mentally and physically to a vacuum-like existence, which is very sterile and quite difficult to maintain. And they get free from all material distinctions and all attachments to material sense objects, so that they can't engage Nirbande, Krishna Sambande, Yukta Vairagya Yuchate. They don't see the bandha, they don't see the sambandha, the connection of everything in this world with Krishna. They can't make that yukta. They can't make that connection. So the devotees become Nirbande, Krishna Sambandha, because they're Nirbande, we remain free and liberated and not bound by any object of this material world. Nirbande, Krishna Sambandha, because we see the relationship of everything to Krishna, to the center. And offer everything to him. So then the objects of the senses or the being in this material world, it's not a problem for us because it's his world and his objects for his pleasure and connected to him. And then we automatically attain detachment just by the proper consciousness and the proper outlook. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. The whole universe, Purna, becomes full of Sukha, Sukhayate, Bhakti Sukh. There's Brahma Sukh and Swarga Sukh and Indriya Sukh. But this is Atma Sukh. Bhakti Sukh, the happiness of engaging our Atma and everything around us and beyond us and within us and outside of us in the loving service of Krishna for his pleasure. So it's like a cobra with no fangs. if you take the fangs off a cobra, he doesn't do much. He just goes, sticks his tongue out and looks mean. But if he has no fangs, then there's no poison, so you just bite your finger and you can just not be scared. So bhakti takes the fangs out of maya. Otherwise, maya has some pretty powerful fangs. Once she bites you, you're dead. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest to them. So they have a, as Krishna says in the Gita, 15th chapter, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, that this, to be fixed, Pratishtaham, is I am, Krishna says, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, I am that, I am fixed in Brahman, I am that Brahman, Brahman, that all pervading unity, unified field of consciousness, that is Krishna's jyoti, his effulgence, his prabhav, his influence, his passive external energy. But to klesha dikataras tesham, klesha dikataras chesam, that klesha dikataras is very difficult and painful to realize that path, the Brahman path. But taking Jagannath Chapan Bhog, dancing for 8 hours in the Rath Yatra, and serving the devotees and distributing books and meditating on Krishna's Leela. This is a juicy path. This is Rasamarg. This is Rasamahi Bhakti. Rasamahi Bhakti. It's not dry. Ras Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Ambuddhi means ocean. Vardhanam means ever expanding ocean with no banks, no shores, no beaches. Just ocean, ocean, ocean. No limitations, no continents. Constricting and restraining the expansion of the ocean. Anand. Oftentimes you meet the pandas when they go in the morning for snan at Radhakund. I'm just chanting Hare Krishna. And they say, Swamiji, Anand. That seems to be the main idea around here. Anand. There's Bhang Anand. There's Bhang Anand, Bhog Anand, and Bhakti Anand. If you have Bhog, need lots of sense enjoyment, that gives some bliss. Then there's Bhang. Bhanganand. Then you take a bunch of marijuana like the pandas do, roll it into a ball, mix a few raisins there, and a little saffron if it's a winter, a little camphor in the summer. And make a nice little goli and pop a few of those in there, then you're in another world. So I wasn't doing Bhoganand, Swami Bhogananda. I wasn't doing Bhanganand. But now somehow Gurudev Prabhupada has given this idea of Kirtananand. Kirtananand. Kirtan Anand. That there's bliss in Kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya certified it. Krishna requested it. Get into it, man. Don't lay back. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant. But he didn't make any good offers. Krishna didn't make any good. He's not a very good salesman. He just gave the dictate in 9th chapter of Gita, 4th verse, Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam Yatantasta Jijavrata. He said, always chant my name. But then, obviously, anybody that's in the market buying something, he'll say, what's the benefit? What do I get out of it? It's a command. It's a royal command from the Lord. Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam Yatantasta Jijavrata. Always chant my name and serve me with great determination. Lord Chaitanya came along, he's a much better salesman. He said, listen, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get 7 great treasures, 7 great benefits. Really? Tell me about the product. Well, this product of the Hare Krishna mantra has 7 great benefits. You get 7 treasures. Acha? Yes. Sarvatma Snapanam. You get a free bath. With every mantra, you get a free bath. Hey, that's a good deal. Yeah, it's costly to build a bath, shower, tank, underground. Motor pump, this, that, pipes, everything. It's costly. You get a free bath with every mantra. Sarvatma Snapanam. Sarvatma Snapanam. An ordinary bath can only bathe your skin and your fingernails. But this bath will bathe your mind and bathe your intelligence and bathe your very self. All the misconceptions and covering all the koshas. Anamaya kosha, monamaya, anandamaya. Just all these koshas and covering the Atma will be removed, these sheaths will be removed, and you'll find a pure self. And then when that happens, then you'll just fall, you'll drown. You'll drown in so much bliss, you won't know what to do with yourself. If you chant this Hare Krishna mantra, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, you'll swim in an ocean of ever-expanding bliss and joy. Hey, now you're talking. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you're a much better salesman. My grandfather told me about this product. He told me about this product that Krishna tried to sell him, and he didn't buy into it. He just said, hey, Satatam Kirti Antamam. He said, look, you take it or leave it. You chant all the time or get lost. But Lord Chaitanya said, listen, I know you people are very business-minded in Kali Yuga. It's an age of Baniyas. Baniya Yuga. There's no Brahmins anymore, no Kshatriyas. Satyuga is the age of Brahmins. And then Dwapara Yuga is the age of Kshatriyas. And Treta Yuga is an age of Brahmins. So now this is a Shudra age. Shudras are all, they're just, Baniyas and Shudras are the same. Same mentality, same ideas. So Krishna, he came as Lord Chaitanya. He said, listen, I got a good deal for you. It's the same old mantra that I tried to tell you about before, but I'm going to give you seven benefits. If you enroll now, you'll get seven benefits. So Lord Chaitanya made an offer you can't refuse. And become so blissful and get a free bath and all these good things will happen. And your mind, your stupid, crazy, puggle mind will become purified. That's the first thing you'll get. All the stupid things, you know, the misconceptions and hang-ups and perversions and phobias and fears and chaitodharvana marjanam. Just clean that thing out right away. But let's see what the purport has to say here. It is difficult for conditioned souls to understand all the transcendental features of the Supreme Lord. Brahmiti, Paramatmiti, Bhagavaniti, Shabhyate, 1-11. Bhagavat. The transcendental existence of God is understood progressively as the impersonal effulgence of localized supersoul in one's heart, and finally the Supreme Personality of God and existing in his eternal abode. Lord Krishna's transcendental existence is beyond the qualities of material nature. Thus here the Lord is referred to as Agunasya, Agun, without material qualities. Even by practicing yoga or engaging in advanced philosophical speculation, one will find it very difficult to clearly understand the transcendental existence beyond the modes of material nature. And these processes are virtually useless for understanding Krishna's own unlimited transcendental qualities, which are far beyond the impersonal conception of spiritual existence. Only by the mercy of pure devotees of the Lord, or by associating with the Lord himself, can one begin the process of realizing the personal feature of the Lord. Such a realization will culminate in pure Krishna consciousness, the final and supreme perfection of knowledge. Bahunam janmana mante genavan ma prapadyante vasudeva sarvamati saram samatma sadurlava. Now, Prabhupada, he has... this is verse 6, is it? Yes? So Prabhupada has a commentary, or he has a, let's say, Prabhupada has his verse here, and then he has a tika also. So you see how much benefit we get. We have the BBT edition of Prabhupada's Disciples with some commentary, then Vishwanath, mostly he would comment on most verses, somehow this he didn't. So Prabhupada is mentioning the verse here in his own phrase. Krishna is all-pervading, as he states in Gita. Everything is sustained by me, but at the same time I am not in everything. That's 9.4 of Gita. Maya sadamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Everything is sustained by me, Sri Krishna, but at the same time I am not in everything. Since the Lord is all-pervading, there is nothing existing without his knowledge. The all-pervasive nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be within the limited knowledge of a living entity. Therefore, a person who has attained steadiness of mind by fixing the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord is able to understand the Supreme Lord Krishna to some extent. So that's the Prabhupada's rendition of the verse by Brahma. Now he gives a commentary. The business of the mind is to wander over very varied subject matter for sense gratification. Only a person who always engages the senses in the service of the Lord can control the mind and be fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. This concentration of the mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord is called samadhi. Until one reaches the stage of samadhi or trance, he cannot understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the bhakti samadhi, which is we approach and attain that highest state, highest limb on the yogic ladder, not by so much rigorous asanas and pranayama, but by serving. Sevan mukhehi jivado, swayamevasparatyada, atakshri krishna namadi, not bhavet grayam indriye. It's a progression. Senses, yes, we have senses. Karmendriya, Ganendriya. Well, use them to serve Krishna. And this way, when the senses are engaged in serving Krishna, the mind becomes pacified, controlled, and purified. And once the mind is purified by engaging the senses, senses engage in Krishna's service, purify the mind. Because the mind is also should be cooperating and thinking of the Lord's service at the same time one is engaging in the service of the Lord. And by that combination of thinking and serving, then the mind becomes purified, pacified, and peaceful, so that we can actually fix the form of the Lord in our mind. So doing service means engaging in a variety of services and all the while chanting the holy name. So then the holy name becomes fixed in our mind. It's called Nam Samadhi. We become absorbed in chanting of the name. And then that leads to the ultimate stage of samadhi where we can fully understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was just looking at our 18 points that Brahma made. First point was incomparable transcendental beauty. That was in verse 1. Then Krishna's original identity of sweetness is difficult to comprehend. The Madhurya of Krishna is more difficult to understand than his Aishwarya. That's point 2. Then point 3, how to understand Sri Krishna's Madhurya? We heard that. Only by hearing Hari Madhurya Katha from advanced devotees, Rasik Vaishnavacharyas. Only by the devotional process of hearing and chanting transcendental sounds received from Vedic authority can we realize the personality of Godhead. So I think that's about how much we've understood so far. Maybe more. Independent study is futile attempt. Have we discussed that? Independently trying to understand is... So that's the fruitless. It's fruitless to try to realize God through the process outside of Vedic authority by one's own endeavor, by meditation, yoga. Independent study is futile attempt to understand Sri Krishna's sweetness. And the personality of God is a great mystery. Savishesh Brahman is much more difficult to understand than Nirvishesh Brahman. The mystery of the personality of God and the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities is inconceivable. It's more difficult to understand than the impersonal Supreme. I think that's about where we are at this juncture. And now we can read... next verse, which is text 7. This is like a philosophical snowplow. In America sometimes, maybe Europe, they get a big bunch of snow on the highways and byways. And they have a big truck with chains on the tires and a big blade in the front of it. And it drives down the street and pushes all the snow to the side and sprinkles salt out the back of the truck, rock salt, which we use on Kodesi. And that rock salt hits the pavement and melts the underlying ice or whatever is there, and the big blade of the snowplow pushes all the heaps and heaps of snow to the side because there's an angle on the blade. It's like this, so when they go down, it lands up on the sidewalk. And this way they clear the streets of New York City and other snowbound cities of America, Chicago, etc. Snowplow, we've unfortunately seen such contraptions. So this prayers as Brahmastuti is like a philosophical snowplow going down the streets of our mind and pushing all the heaps of black snow out of the off the streets of Bhakti Marg. Bhakti Marg has like 20 feet of snow covering it. Can't really find our way on the path. Our car is covered with snow. So when we read these verses, it seems like we're plowing through a lot of snow and pushing out a lot of unnecessary misconceptions in the way of the snowplow. Text 7. Gunatmanaste pi gunanvi matum hita vatirnasya kaishiresya kalena yeva vimita sukalper bhupam shavake mihikadyu basaha. Ah, said Brahma. In time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth or particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun. Now that's quite a feat. They're going to go up there with a satellite and count all the molecules of sun coming from the sun. The stars in the sky and the other luminaries. But among these learned scientists and philosophers, who could possibly count the unlimited, transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the surface of the earth for the benefit of all living entities? Now, that's what I call a fan of Krishna. He's really glorifying his Lord. He's saying, scientists may do all these great things, but all I know is you're way beyond my foreheads. My four Apple computers can't figure you out. So let them go and try, but I'll simply hear, chant, and cry. Mutai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari. Cry for Krishna. Try for Krishna, try for Krishna. Otherwise, Maya will fry you. Gunatmanaste pi gunan vimatum hita vatirnasya ka isharesya kalena yeva vimita sukalper pupam shavake mihikadyubasaha. Purport by the noble disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains in his commentary, Vaishnav Toshini, I believe it's called, or maybe Digdarshini, what is this word gunatmana? Gunatmana, possessor of all superior qualities. He says that Krishna is gunatmana, gunatma, the soul of all superior qualities, because Krishna gives life to these qualities. He gives life to the soul. For example, one may discuss in an abstract way such qualities as generosity, intelligence, and mercy, but they come to life only when a living person exhibits them. It's very nice. In other words, qualities by themselves are simply static without being expressed through a living organism. You say, oh, there's something called generosity. I've never seen it. There's something called intelligence. I never had any. And there's something called mercy, and I hope I receive some soon. So without being dynamically expressed by a living entity, they're simply unread books on the shelf of the library. They have no real relevance or meaning. They're just lined up, qualities lined up on a page. So when we say Krishna is the gunatma because he gives life to the, all superior qualities. Krishna is Gunatma because he descends to the material world and reestablishes religious principles by showing all godly qualities. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that it says, it's actually from the Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila's Shiksha, Tatikshva Kurunika, Suridas Savadehinam, Ajata Shatrava Shanto, Sarva Sarubhushanam, that the saintly person, he wears his qualities as you wear jewelry and fine clothing to show the world your ability to dress or the wealth you have to purchase such costly jewelry and raiments, clothing. Sarva Sadubhushanam. Bhushanam, decorations, ornaments. He's ornamented by tolerance, tatikshva, karuna, compassion. And we say, okay, there's something, oh, there's tolerance, there's compassion. But then when you see a truly tolerant person, tolerance in action, actions speak louder than words. You see a tolerant person and a compassionate person, Kurunika, Sridham, and you see a very friendly person, and you say, oh, it exists, attain. And I suppose it is. If you have a teacher that's full of bliss like Srila Prabhupada, and always absorbed in his own inner ecstasies of his pure love for Radha and Krishna, then a few drops are bound to fall on you. Just as if you stand near the river, near a sage drying his jata, his long hair after he bathes, and he flicks his hair back, and a few drops may fall on you. And there are Puranic stories where Sudras got their next birth as a Brahmin just by receiving a drop of water falling from a sage's hair after his bath. Powerful. Prabhav. This just went, psht, and drop, boom. And that Sudra became so fortunate that he immediately took the elevator up the social ladder. He didn't have to do the progressive births as high-class Sudra and pious, and very pious and religious Sudra and very pure-hearted Sudra, and then finally a Vaishya and this and that, and finally Brahman. He immediately got elevated to a Brahman birth. Such Prabhava is there, and Kripa from Sadhus and Kripa from Krishna. Sinners become saints. Animals become humans. Humans become gods. Gods become devotees. Humans become devas. I mean, it's a demigod. Transformation. A human being, a manush can become a deva. But that's not so great. That's greater than a manush. But then a deva can become a devotee. And that's the greatest attainment anyone could ever have. Vaikunthanath Das, become a devotee, a disciple, I mean, servant of the Lord of Vaikuntha. So Krishna, he reestablishes religion. How? By showing godly qualities himself and inspiring godly qualities in others. This is Acharya. Acharya Mamvijaniyam, Navamanyate Karichit. Krishna is telling in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, he said, look, I'm an Acharya. I've come to teach Gita and live Gita and show the good qualities of a virtuous person in my Nara Leela. Be like me. And then you should understand the gurus are like me also. Acharya Mam Vijaniyan. You should know clearly that the gurus are also like me. They're teaching. Acharya means teaching by achar. Achar means proper behavior and proper discrimination, exhibiting the good qualities of God. People say, I can't see God, but I can see my guru. I don't know God, but I know my guru. Guru is God. God is guru. That's true. Of course, the Indians sometimes take it too far. And guru is God, and that's the only God they know. And guru just sucks up all that adoration, kamani kanak pratishtha, and doesn't turn them on to God, because he is God, and the buck stops there, and give me all your bucks. But that isn't really what is meant by that statement. So Krishna, he wears his qualities. I often use the phrase that a devotee should wear his devotional qualities. In the early days of ISKCON, that's why we gave this list out to some students, listing the 26 qualities of devotee. And Prabhupada in 66 in New York, it's in Lilamrita, he posted these qualities on the board, 26 qualities. Prabhupada would often write little handouts. little messages for his disciples because there wasn't too many books and he wanted them to learn specific medicine at particular times. So he'd write something, pen something on a piece of paper, and the 5 or 7, 10 followers in New York, he'd say, listen, I want everyone to learn this list of 26 qualities and try to develop them. Because there's always this debate, it's like, which came first, you know, the chicken or the egg or something. So I say, well, what comes first? First you just do bhakti, then you get the qualities, or you should develop the qualities and bhakti? Oh, they have this whole debate. You do both, both should be done. Because there's a verse there in the 5th canto. Devotees automatically attain all the qualities. The devotees, simply by engaging in devotional service, they attain all the good qualities. Samastaguna, they attain all the qualities of the demigods without a separate endeavor. But bhakti itself is an endeavor. It's not separate, but it's the only endeavor. So we can say we can develop qualities that way. But at least Prabhupada, he explained that. And then he would test the devotees. Rupa Nuga, he reveals in his memoir, Leelamriti, he said, yes, Prabhupada would have us take out a piece of paper and say, all right, everyone write down the 26 qualities. I think we did it one time, or somewhere we were having a little class like that. And then everyone write down. And Rupa Nuga was saying that, in a class I heard once from him, he said, we would often, on our own, we were trying to memorize those qualities and embody them or to some extent, alongside of cultivating our sadhana bhakti, and serving Prabhupada. But then we would take out a piece of paper or we would try to enumerate and list the 26 qualities of devotee, which are mentioned in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a nectar devotion, and a few different purports of Bhagavatam. And invariably, we found that we would write, devotee should be this, devotee should be that, devotee should be this. And whatever quality we didn't have, we would forget to write down. What was on our mind was the qualities that we somewhat were actively involved in. But if we were, for example, not have means that we were too attached to the opposite quality. Like he says, a devotee should be prideless. But if we happen to be a very proud person, and now trying to be a devotee, so now we're a very proud devotee, or a so-called aspiring devotee amongst all the other devotees, and we're acting a little proud, and everybody notices it. Then, okay, get a piece of paper, write down the qualities. Oh, it's, you know, I seem to skip over this one. I can't recall this one. What's this one? Why? Because I don't have too much of a glimmer or even a shade or a shadow of that quality. So when we would write down the 26 qualities, he said, oh, these 4 or 5 are missing. It's a very nice practice, and we gave that handout sheet to everyone, I think. Yeah, but Prabhupada was so concerned with helping us develop all these saintly qualities. So Krishna comes and he displays them, especially in Ram. And he's like, who can be more saintly than Ram? He comes as Maryada to show all the saintly qualities, and Krishna comes and break them all. A living entity who develops the transcendental qualities found in Krishna receives immeasurable benefit and eventually goes with the Lord back to his own abode, where all living beings are liberated and fully endowed with the transcendental nature. Interesting, he doesn't say you go to the Lord's abode and meet him over there. You go with the Lord. Very interesting. You develop these qualities, the qualities of a pure devotee, the lakshana, shuddh bhakti lakshana. Then he eventually goes with the Lord to Krishna's abode, which means what? Krishna comes and delivers us from the ocean of birth and death. As Krishna says in Gita, I am the swift deliverer. I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. And it shows a devotee, he's there with his sikha, and he's just reaching up, and he's in this samsara. Everyone's in this samsara samudra, this ocean of birth and death. So is a devotee, but he's not drowning. He's not drowning in the waves of repeated birth and death and miseries. He's floating. And then what is the Lord doing? The Lord is coming down on Garuda. And he's reaching his hand down. And the devotee's reaching up and he's pulling him out of the ocean. Krishna comes and takes the devotee. Oftentimes you hear the recounting of different devotees when they left their bodies and other people were with them. I remember one godbrother, he was talking about his wife. And she was leaving her body, and she had a beautiful smile on her face, and she had some cancer or something, Prabhupada disciple. She's lying in her bed, and she's surrounded by devotees doing kirtan, a very fortunate person. In Vrindavan, maybe, or overseas, I don't remember. And she's looking, oh, Oh, and this is a minutes before she's leaving her body. And the voice was saying, so-and-so Dasi, you're all right? And she says, yes, yes. He's come, he's here. You see him, he's here. And she was elated, like shivering and trembling. And she wasn't saying, the Yamadutas or the barking German shepherds and the gnashing teeth of the Yamadutas and the clanging and changing of their chains. She's, he's here. Oh. And then they said, who's here? Is it Prabhupada? No. It's Krishna. No. Who is it? It's Gauranga. It's so beautiful. Gauranga. And then she left her body. So this Krishna comes. Krishna says in Gita, Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. Mrityu. Krishna also comes for the non-devotees. Mrityu Sarva Haras. I come as death. You don't believe in God? You believe in death? That's me. You know, my name is God. My nickname is death. What? Sure. I didn't know that. I don't believe in God. I didn't know your nickname was death. That's right. I wrote a book called Gita. And in that book I say, listen, you fools and jerks that don't believe in God, then is anyone who doesn't believe in death? It's the ultimate equalizer. The ultimate equalizer is death. Rich man, poor man, everyone dies. They all become equal then. Zero. Bill Gates becomes zero. The rickshawala becomes zero. The ultimate equalizer. I come. So Krishna comes to the materialist also, to the non-devotee. I come as death and take away everything. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. Comes to the non-devotee atheist demons and he takes away everything. Mantan dan, everything gone. But for the devotee, Krishna comes himself and gives everything. Because Krishna is everything. Everything is Krishna, and Krishna is everything. Ham sarvasya pravavo, matasarvam pravartate. Krishna is everything. Because I come, my devotee, I come as Krishna and I give you everything. Oh, my non-devotee, demon, atheist, pashandi, nashtik. Oh, for you? Yes, I come to you also as death. And take away everything and give you nothing. Another birth in a samsara, or go to hell, become a pig, cockroach, dog, flea, cat, mouse. Devotee, my aham bhakta pradino. Aham bhakta pradino. I am controlled. Aham bhakta pradino. I am controlled by my devotee. For my devotee? No, I come myself personally. I come directly, sakshat darshan, I come directly. And I give you everything. First canto of Bhagavatam, Narada Muni. He had darshan of Krishna. He heard his voice. It came to him. If one develops these transcendental qualities found in the Lord, the devotee receives immeasurable benefit and eventually goes with the Lord back to Krishna's abode, where all the liberated souls have transcendental nature, which means they're Divya Kalevaram, they're Siddhadeva. Sanatana Goswami, this is all Sanatana Goswami's explanation. Sanatana Goswami further explains that Krishna manifests a specific, beautiful, Krishna manifests a specific spiritual quality for the benefit of each living entity. Since there are innumerable living entities within the confines of the material creation, the Lord manifests infinite qualities. Thus, every conditioned soul can appreciate the Supreme Lord in a particular way. Krishna has something for everyone. The example given here in this verse, that even the most learned scholars could someday count the particles of earth, snow, and light, they would still fail to understand the qualities of Krishna. In this example, earth, snow, and light are progressively more subtle. Thus, it is to be understood that sukshmadi means he's the subtlest possible object of contemplation. Sukshma means subtle, sukshma sharira. Thus it is understood that there is an increasing difficulty in counting their virtually infinite particles. It's difficult to count all the particles of earth. It's more difficult to count all the snowflakes. It's even more difficult to count all the particles of light emanating from the sun. According to Vishnu Chakravarti, great personality is like Lord Sankarshan. Actually have counted the number of atoms on the earth and even the molecules in the entire universe. Yet even such personality of Sankarshan, which means Ananta Shesh, who's holding up the whole universe. So while he was holding up the whole universe, he didn't have much to do. So then he went around and counted everything in his universe. Just like if you have the bank full of money. So one day you close the bank and you open up all the vaults and you count all the coins. We have a hundi box in a temple, and it just piles up, it's just full of coins and coins and coins. And one day they open it up and spread it on the floor and count all the coins. So one day Ananta Shesh was saying, what is this on my head anyway? And supporting this entire universe like a speck of dust, like some dandruff on your head. Like has some dandruff on your head, a little white speck, yes? So it's like, he doesn't even know it's up there. Sometimes he goes like that and the universe falls off and that's the end of us. So Ananta Shesh is thinking, well, what am I holding on my head anyway? Let me look at it. So one day he walked around the universe, which is on his head, and he counted all the particles and molecules and atoms. Then what did he say? He said, with my thousands of mouths, Ananta Shesh, I cannot estimate. He said, even Ananta Shesh Sankarshan, who has been continuously chanting the glories of the Lord since time immemorial, has not even approached the final count of those glories. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. Ananta Rupa Bhagavan Ki Jai. Krishna exhibits his most astonishing qualities during his childhood pastimes in Braj, Shishu Kumar, Balya Leela, where he steals butter from the coward ladies, dances with his girlfriends, and plays with his coward boyfriends as their most dear companion. Although appearing like an ordinary human activities, such sublime pastimes embody Krishna's immeasurable and innumerable beautiful transcendental qualities, which are the life and soul of the pure devotees. So Vishnu says, oh my Lord, he's paraphrasing this gunatmana, gunatmanaste pi gunan vimatum. Brahma is saying, Krishna, you possess unlimited eternal qualities that arise from your spiritual form. This is confirmed in the scripture known as Brahma Tarka. Gune sarupa bhutaistugo nasyo yaso hari ishvara. The Lord possesses qualities which arise from his own sarup, his personal form. Brahma said, but who can count vimatum, those qualities of yours, my Lord? No one can. The avatars, such as Sankarshan, who descend on earth to extinguish the suffering of the world, actually have counted the number of atoms on the earth, the snowflakes, and even the particles of sunlight. Yet even such a personality as Sankarshan, who has been continuously chanting Krishna's glories since time immemorial, cannot come to an end of enumerating those qualities or those glories. There is another meaning of this word in verse 7, Gunatmana. Krishna, Lord Krishna, is the protector of the world, consisting of the three gunas, the modes of material nature. No one can come to an end of counting the qualities of you, my dear Lord Krishna, who engage in pastimes of protecting the universe. What to speak then of being able to describe the most astonishing qualities that you exhibit during your sweet childhood pastimes in Vrindavan, wherein you steal yogurt from the Braja Gopis? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur Ki Jai. This is Prabhupada's description of this verse 7, kind of commentary and translation, Krishna book. As described in the beginning of Vedanta Sutra, the Supreme Person is the origin of all qualities. Krishna is generally called Nirgun, because it's a verse about guna, gunatmanas. So Nirgun means without estimation and qualities. Gun means quality, and Nir means without estimation. But an impersonalist interpret this word nirgun to mean no gun, having no qualities. Because impersonalists are unable to estimate the qualities of the Lord in transcendental realization, they conclude that the Supreme Lord Krishna has no qualities. Because they can't estimate. How can the Lord be a person? How can he have so many unlimited qualities? It must not be. So therefore he has none. But this is actually not the position. The real position is that Krishna is a source of all, original source of all qualities. All qualities are emanating from, constantly from Krishna. How therefore can a limited person count the qualities of the Lord? One may estimate the qualities of the Lord for one moment, but the next moment the qualities are increased. This is called the Krishna uncertainty principle. There was a famous scientist back in the 30s, Heisenberg, a physicist who was examining the molecules and atoms and wavicles and particles. So when you look through an electron microscope at a very small atom, it's moving so fast that when you look at it, you think it's a pinpoint of solid matter. But you've seen it in the microscope or cyclotron, it's already moved to another position. So it just leaves a trail like an airstream. So he says that when you might examine minute matter in its minutest form of atoms or molecules, you can't really decide whether it's a wave, whether it's a solid particle or whether it's a moving wave or a vibration. Because everything's vibration, everything's dancing to the vibration of Krishna's flute ultimately. And it takes some solid form for some time and then dissolves and takes some solid form and then dissolves in this material world. But there in the spiritual world, everything has a form of vibration. Everyone's form is eternal vibration. So it doesn't become solidified and then dissolve into nothingness. It's called Nitya Sarup and Nitya Dham. So he says, I don't know, is it a solid particle? It looks like a particle, but by the time I see it, it just moved. Like it's moved like crashed like the wave. So a wave, if you just take a wave and stop it in midstream on the ocean, it's a mass of water, but then it's moving and it becomes a wave and it crashes down. So it's a particle or a wave, what's in the wavicle? So he said, actually, you can't be too certain of what's going on down there. So he coined a whole theory called Heisenberg's, some German scientist, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. So Krishna's ever expanding. God is always expanding at every moment. Krishna Vardhanam. Giri Govardhan. Govardhan. He's always expanding. His mercy, his qualities, everything. His compassion, his leelas. Krishna's qualities, whatever you see, whatever you go to look at Krishna's qualities now, they've already doubled and tripled in the next few minutes. So therefore, this is the Krishna uncertainty principle. We've discovered a new principle. When you examine, because Krishna is Anora Niyan Mahatomayan, he's the smallest Anu, atomic particle of creation, the smallest analyzed, the smallest examinable particle is Krishna. He's smaller than the atom. Anora Niyan Mahato Mahiyan. Anu means atomic, and Mahima means so great. So whether Krishna is so small, he's changing in every moment. He's unpredictable and uncertain. Or whether you look at the vast universal form of Krishna or the Krishna in the spiritual world, far beyond our purview of our material senses, he's also, his qualities are expanding and increasing and deepening in every moment. So as soon as we look at them, Krishna, I see his qualities, and we get our pen out and we start writing, and we look up again, they just added 50,000 more. And then I start writing 10 of those, and I look up and there's another 50,000. So Krishna, whether he's the smallest, presenting himself inside the atom, dancing with Radharani, or he's presenting himself in the Rasa dance with 3 billion gopis in the Maharas dance and Boma Vrindavan, it's definitely, he's inconceivable, Achintya Tattva, Achintya Krishna. So therefore, the only thing we can say is to understand this phenomenon of examining transcendence is that we have to develop this, what we call the Krishna uncertainty principle. Krishna uncertainty principle key. Yeah. So there's the material, everything, and everyone knows that materially everything is uncertain. The only thing there's only two things that are certain in this world. Only two things are certain in this world. Taxes and death. You always pay taxes and you always die. But everything else is uncertain, from the atom to everything. So the Heisenberg's, his uncertainty principle works with matter. But this, our Krishna uncertainty principle works with everything spiritual. Because everything's within Krishna, and everything's outside of Krishna, because Krishna is everything. And he's very uncertain. Now you see him, now you don't. But we're trying to see him, and we hope to see him forever. One may estimate the qualities of the Lord for one moment, but the next moment the qualities are increased. Therefore, it is impossible to make an estimation of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. He is therefore called Nirgun. His qualities cannot be estimated. So if you want to make this a principle of physics, then it becomes the Krishna uncertainty principle, which Prabhupada calls, explains that this is the Nirgun aspect of Krishna. The Nirgun means he has so many, not that he has no qualities, he has no material qualities, he only has transcendental qualities, which are imperceptible to material eyes. And then when you have spiritual eyes, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanina, and you try to examine and understand and estimate the transcendental qualities of the Lord, you fall short, because he's always expanding at every moment, always increasing. Anandam Buddhivardhana means the ocean of bliss is ever expanding. Well, who's the source of the ocean of bliss? Krishnananda. Krishnananda is the source of the ocean of bliss. So the ocean's expanding, so is the source of the ocean. Ananta Rupam, Ananta Lilam, Ananta Gunam. Advaitam Achutam Anadam Ananta Rupam. Advaitam Achutam Anadam Ananta Rupam. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Vedeshu Durlavam Adurlavam Atma Bhakto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Advaita. He's like Anantam and Achutam, infallible and ever expanding. So therefore, we just have to fall at Krishna's feet and surrender and say, Krishna, if you let me figure, you are infinite and I am finite. The infinite can the finite can never understand the length and depth of the infinite. However, if the Anugraha Bhagavan, the compassionate Lord, agrees and consigns to reveal himself, the infinite can reveal himself to the finite, at least a portion. And this way we can understand a particle of Krishna and make our lives perfect. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai.